Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the scripture lesson from Isaiah chapter 54. In today's scripture reading, we see a picture of God depicted as a husband and his people portrayed as his wife. This is an image found in several passages of Holy Scripture, both in the Old and New Testaments. The divine marriage concept is a very useful picture that helps us understand that loving relationship that God has with his people. It not only communicates to us the devotion and faithfulness that God shows toward his people, but it also reminds us of our duty as Christians to be faithful and devoted to the Lord, who has done so much for us by creating us, redeeming us, and sanctifying us to be his very own. In this text from Isaiah, the Lord is described as a loving and forgiving husband who calls back to himself his wife, who was abandoned and deserted. For a brief period of time, the Lord hid his face from his people, but now he was calling them back because of his love and compassion. In his anger, God turned away from his people, but now he would restore them back to himself because of his everlasting kindness. This text from Isaiah refers to the Babylonian exile, where the Lord had abandoned his people for a period of 70 years, only to restore them back again to the promised land where they once lived. Even though these words are prophetic of what would take place in the future history of the kingdom of Judah, Isaiah the prophet looks upon these events as if they have already happened. These words would bring comfort and hope to the faithful remnant of God's people as they would endure those painful years, exiled in a place far away from their homeland, wondering in their minds, would God forgive them? Would they ever return home? These words would assure God's people they would not be abandoned forever. Yes, the nation of Judah had been very unfaithful to the Lord. They worshiped idols. They followed after pagan gods. The people were guilty of spiritual adultery through their own false worship and their many evil deeds. However, the Lord would not be angry forever. Even though the Lord would have to chastise his people for their many sins by means of that Babylonian invasion and the eventual captivity, the Lord would not forsake his people forever. By his grace, he would forgive them and allow them to return home. For God is a faithful and forgiving husband toward his people. But the people behaved like an unfaithful and wayward wife. The concept of a divine marriage between God and his people is also found in the New Testament. And ultimately, that image is fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is portrayed as a bridegroom, and the church is his holy bride. Through that heavenly vision, the book of Revelation describes the church as a bride coming down from heaven, beautifully dressed in preparation for her husband. And this, of course, will take place at the end of the world when Christ returns visibly to dwell with his people in everlasting glory. But yet through that sacred institution of holy marriage between one man and one woman, God has given to us a foretaste of what that heavenly relationship will be like. But of course, because of sin in this world, no earthly marriage is perfect. Both the husband and the wife have a sinful nature, and that puts them at odds with each other, and they both fall well short of the ideal type of love that husbands and wives should always have for one another. But yet there's nothing wrong with the institution of marriage as God designed it, just because sinful people often fail to live up to what that relationship truly means. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands are to love their wives just as much as Christ loved the church. Wives are to be subject to and show respect to their husbands as to the Lord. And Paul describes how Christ, in true love, gave himself up for his church to cleanse her through holy baptism as the washing of water with the word of God. And Christ did this to present the church to himself as a radiant bride, holy and blameless without any imperfection. Christ is the one who provides the church with that perfect garment of his righteousness granted to her in baptism. Christ is the one who redeemed the church from all her sin through his suffering and death on the cross, and he washes away her sins as we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, it is sad to see that we live in such a world where traditional marriage is no longer treated as a holy institution. For the last several generations, our culture has lost respect for the Christian understanding of marriage. Divorce is accepted and quite common. It's publicly recognized. Men and women can live together without shame and even have children together without bothering to get married. And then when people do eventually decide to get married, sometimes the event is treated more like a party, an extravagant social affair, such that the word of God and the sacredness of that institution are left out altogether or simply pushed off to the side. And now, of course, our secular culture is in the process of making same-sex marriage an acceptable practice. Suddenly, this type of marriage between two men and two women, that's the kind of marriage relationship that the modern world finds worth standing up for and defending with great zeal. And now the world expects all to tolerate same-sex marriages, to legalize them, to change the laws and definitions, and of course to bless them and sanctify them with honor as well. But the true servants of Jesus Christ within his bride, the church, can never bless nor sanctify same-sex marriage as honorable in the eyes of God, even if it becomes legal in all 50 states. That would go against the very nature and understanding of our God. For Christians, this is more than just a political or just a moral issue. This is a change in how we perceive ourselves in relation to the triune God, who created us and redeemed us to be his very own. That traditional image of one man and one woman united in a lifelong relationship, that's a picture of how God relates to us as his people. Christ as the heavenly bridegroom, he calls us to be his own through the gospel. He bestows on us his righteousness in baptism. He feeds his church through his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. He cares for the church. He provides for it. He protects it from harm and danger. He is the faithful guardian of his bride, the church, which lives in a sinful and evil world. But with same-sex marriage, a completely different picture is shown. Instead, you see an image where God and man are projected to be the same, to be identical, to be interchangeable, even to come from the same substance. A same-sex marriage, as a reflection of the divine relationship with human beings, would show that God and man are essentially alike and ultimately equal. But that's the same type of falsehood that Satan tried to pass off on Eve in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent promised that if Eve would only eat from the forbidden fruit, she would become like God, knowing good and evil. And ever since that tragic fall into sin, corrupted mankind has been on a never-ending quest, trying to become more and more like God, to usurp his power and authority, to drive away every idea that man is a creature who is dependent upon God, his creator. But we as the church, the chosen bride of Jesus Christ, we must hold fast to the Lord Almighty as our maker and our redeemer, the divine husband of God's people. For not only is this traditional marriage the teaching of Scripture as what God instituted for the founding of families and the propagation of the human race, this is also what the Apostle Paul says is a great mystery, a profound mystery that reveals to us the very image of Christ and his bride, the church. Christians can't change their understanding of marriage without also changing their understanding of God himself and his relationship to his own dear people. Thanks be to God, as our text from Isaiah shows, the Lord is a loving and a forgiving husband. He always wants his people to repent, to return back to him, to receive his everlasting kindness and compassion. Jesus Christ is our heavenly bridegroom, whose glorious appearance we await at the end of the world. Because of his saving grace, we belong to him, and someday we will live with him forever. By the power of the Spirit, we must remain faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ and devoted to his word, for he is the only one who, by his holy and precious blood, continues to cleanse us from all of our sins. In the name of Jesus, amen.